So we're going to look this morning or this afternoon at prayer, praise and persistence, focusing on the story that we read in 2 Chronicles 20. A huge force is on its way to attack. The expression here in verse 2 for vast army is the chronicler's way of describing the overwhelming numerical superiority of the invaders. This is an overwhelming force. This is a massive coalition army that was way too large, way too powerful for the people to deal with. And the attacking armies, they've come across the Dead Sea. So when the report reaches King Jehoshaphat, the coalition army has already arrived at En-Gedi, which is only 25 miles southeast of Jerusalem. So can you imagine getting this report when only about 25 miles away is this overwhelmingly large army? What's the first thing Jehoshaphat does? He goes to God for help and he prays. Jehoshaphat goes to God for help, he prays. Alarmed, Jehoshaphat resolved to inquire of the Lord, or the Message translation is shaken, Jehoshaphat prayed. When we're shaken, we might not have a massive army coming after us in the same way, but when we feel under attack from the enemy, when we're in a time of crisis, a sudden panic hits us, I want to encourage us to call on God, to call on him. And some of us, we might not be confident in praying a lot, you might not be confident with your words, and you might think, well, I'm not really able to pray eloquently or pray in a particular way, but it's just about calling on God. And sometimes it might just be saying, God, help me. You might be at work and be having a difficult day, and on your way to the kettle, you can just say, God, help me, and call on his name to intervene and help you. And that should be our first response to a crisis or a disaster, to call on God, to inquire of the Lord. Next, Jehoshaphat proclaims a fast for all Judah. Verse 3, alarmed, Jehoshaphat resolved to inquire of the Lord, and he proclaimed a fast for all of Judah. Fasting here is about calling on God for deliverance. Fasting is another way of calling on God to deliver or to intervene, to bring his saving power, to express we are depending on him. And our faith is different from some others in that we don't have compulsory fasting or fasting obligations that must be fulfilled over a certain period. We don't have to do this to be accepted in our faith, or fast over a compulsory period to obey or please God, or to attain a particular status or level of awareness of our God. God doesn't demand that we skip meals. This is us demanding of our bodies that we skip meals whilst we seek his face and call on him. It's a matter of prioritization of us saying, I'm going to put prayer before eating even. It's estimated that the people had roughly 1.5 to 3 days before the army was going to reach them. So it makes sense to put everything aside to call on God. And the fasting here is corporate. We've previously had, does anyone remember our short corporate fasting that we've done before as a church? But there's also personal fasting that we can do, that is between us and God, where we're really seeking his help and his direction. Jehoshaphat brings everyone together for corporate prayer. We know it's important that we pray corporately as well as individually. And we read in 2 Chronicles 6 about how Solomon prays with the whole assembly of Israel on behalf of the nation, and God responds, and fire and the glory of God fill the temple. We read in Acts 12:5 how the church pray most strenuously for Peter, who's stuck in prison, and the angel comes and frees him and delivers him, leads him out of prison just in the nick of time. We also read in Jonah 3 how Nineveh fast and repent and they are then saved. God changes his mind and they're saved from destruction. So we can see that there's something special that happens when we pray corporately, that God responds. When we're praying corporately, we're praying as a community of believers calling on God together. And there's something wonderful about when we do this in the same room. How many of you have some great memories of when, as a church, we've prayed together corporately, we've worshipped together corporately, and we've seen the Holy Spirit do something in the room. We've seen healings, or we've seen people set free. I can think of examples of people being healed and running around the room that weren't able to do so before. And I am so grateful that as a kid, my mum and dad, they always encouraged me to participate in church and to participate in prayer and worship. And I remember the encouragement as a kid of really experiencing God in our gatherings, in our corporate gatherings. And it's good for us, it builds up our faith. So it's important to pray and worship together corporately. And we know that more than ever, we need to be praying for our nation together. And we need to be praying for our nation with urgency. As we've heard earlier, we don't know when Jesus is coming back. We don't know the day or the hour. And Satan knows that too. And he's working to do all his damage. And as a church, we must rise up and be a people of prayer and worship, who are praying, worshipping God together, calling on his name to save our nation, to deliver our nation. We were praying on Tuesday for Henry Novak's family. And it's important that we pray for them. It's important that we pray for our nation at this time. It's important that we pray for justice in our police. It's important that we pray also for all those in the police that are working hard to help keep people safe. It's important that we pray for our government, that they manage things in the right way. It's important that we pray for Keir Starmer, for Shabana Mahmood, that they'll meet with Jesus and be saved, and that we'll see a change in some of our government policies. Free speech is under threat in this country, we know that. This is something we need to pray about. You know, if things keep heading this way, your pastors might be arrested in not so long a time ahead, and I'm not saying that lightly. When I was a kid, I never thought that I would see this. So we need to pray for our nation. It's not something for us to panic about. When we do panic, we know we run to God for help, don't we? But this is something that we must pray about and call on God to intervene with, that the name of Jesus might be lifted high. And I just want to point out here that all ages were assembled together in this corporate prayer. All ages were present and attentive to God, verse 13. I know I'm not a parent, so forgive me, okay? I don't know all the ins and outs of parenting. But I do know that as a child, how helpful it was for me, how helpful it's been in my life when my mum and dad always taught me as a child to turn to God in times of crisis. And they always set an example for us in our household of that. When there's a crisis, the first thing that we do is pray together. When my brother was sick, we had times of family prayer. And my mum and dad always taught us that. And in the church, you know, we need to be training our children to be seeking God in times of crisis, because they're being exposed to all sorts in our schools, and we have a responsibility to make sure that they hear the word of God, that they know that they have a God who is with them working for their good. There's kids' Bible storybooks. We can have regular prayer time with our families and our households, with your kids. Family Bible study, this is something that we used to do when I was a kid. My parents would gather us at the table and we would open the Word of God and study a chapter together or something. Even if it's only for 10 minutes, it's good to get the Word of God in there, to incorporate it into our daily routines. Involving all ages in prayer and praise. I hope, church, that you feel this is a place where kids can be involved in worship and prayer together. And because I knew as a kid that I could seek God in times of crisis, in times of difficulty, I remember praying to him for healing. And I have a really clear memory of when I was less than 7 years old, and I was having terrible ear pain. And I ran into the bathroom and I prayed for healing over my ear and I covered my hand, and the pain just went when I prayed that prayer. And I remember knowing as a child and having that experience of God's healing, of his response to our prayer. So let's keep encouraging our children and our young people to seek him, and that he is our saviour and helper. And I had to get this one in there. I had some real inspiration as a child for my singing in church, mainly from a duck named Gospel Duck. And this was used to be a video. Did anyone else ever see Gospel Duck? Am I the only person? So it was only in our household, and it was this little duck, and he used to sing, "I love to be a duck for Jesus." And I mean, it's like super corny stuff, you know, but it was good as a kid because it really encouraged me to pray. Does anybody remember Salty?
Yeah.
Yes. Oh, hey, go Mary. Salty. You know, like the Christian version of Barney. You know, these are things we can just encourage our young people, our children, to praise. And let's have it on in our home. Let's be exposing our home to worship music, to things that raise our faith in God, that teach us about who God and Jesus is. And another story for you. The glasses get smashed. Some of you will know what I'm referring to there. Karen's nodding her head. Some of you will know the story of when my dad got up in church and he smashed his glasses and declared healing, and he was healed and had great vision afterwards. And I saw that as a kid, and it just stirred my faith and encouraged me. So I just want to encourage us to you know, bring your kids to church, involve them in the meeting, encourage them to participate, and it can really help with faith rising up within them and teach them about who our God is. So Jehoshaphat publicly calls on God's power and ability to save. He says, "Power and might are in your hand, and no one can withstand you." Or the Message translation, "You hold all power and might in your fist. No one can stand a chance against you." In the face of overwhelming disaster, this is how Jehoshaphat responds. He knows who his God is. Church, I want to ask us, in times of difficulty and challenge and crisis, how are we publicly declaring our faith and pointing people to God as Saviour? Jehoshaphat refers back to what God has done before for the people. And sometimes we need to remember what God has done and just remind ourselves of the miracles he's worked before, what God has done for his people before, because hey, he might just do it again. So let's keep encouraging ourselves of who our God is and knowing his word, so that when a crisis comes, when a crisis hits, we know who our God is, we know what he's done before, we know what his word says, and we can stand on it in faith. The people have no power, but they know God does.
Yes.
How many of you know God has the power that we
yes.
need?
Yes.
When you feel powerless, God has the power that we need. We call on him, our Saviour, our Deliverer. The Jesus March that's been mentioned earlier was a great experience where we were publicly pointing to God as the answer for our nation, our rescuer, our deliverer, our hope. And we've done the crosswalk around Foxwood before as well. These are great things that we can do to publicly point people to God, to point people to the answer, to point people to Jesus. And so I want to encourage us to worship in our homes, to worship in the streets. Maybe we need to do another prayer walk and a worship walk soon around the streets and just call on the Lord to move, because we know he is the help that we need, not by might, not by power, but by his Spirit. And we know that when we face a situation that seems overwhelmingly difficult, when everything looks like disaster is going to happen, things can change. Verse 14, then the Spirit of the Lord came on Yahaziel, son of Zechariah. What do we see here? Why do we pray, people? If someone ever says to you, why do you pray? Then you can use this as an example and say, well, the people were up against everything, but they called out to him, they prayed, and then the Spirit of God moves. The Spirit of God responds as the people have fasted and prayed together. So our prayers can change things. God responds to our prayer, and sometimes we just have to keep calling on his name. And Yahaziel here, we see the Levite is empowered by God's Spirit to deliver this word and says, you will not have to fight the battle. Take up your positions, stand firm and see the deliverance the Lord will give you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Go out to face them tomorrow and the Lord will be with you. For the battle is not yours, but God's. Sometimes we hear this taken slightly out of context in a way that suggests that there's nothing needed from us because God controls everything. And sometimes we hear this word, don't we, of God is in control of everything. And sometimes this might be a comforting idea. But we know from what Ariel has said in recent weeks, God invites us to partner with him. And all, you know, when we see conflict in the world and wars happening, this is not God's will. This is not part of God's design, but it is through man's sinful choices and sinful nature and the free will that he has given us. And he invites us to partner with him, to pray, to bring change and to bring his kingdom on this earth. And what we read here is that God saves the people, he rescues them, but they still have to take their positions. They still have to go out and be prepared to go out and face the enemy and face them. But God is with them. Can you imagine how terrifying it must have been? This overwhelming force of darkness headed towards them. And God says, go out and face them, for I'm with you. And it's easy to say, oh, well, they could just trust God. But they had to make that decision to step out and to trust what God had said and to face them. And God is calling us as a church to take our position and to face the enemy and to praise the Lord, to pray to him, to call on him, to intervene for our nation. And we have the responsibility to do that. So the people receive this word and they respond with praise and worship together. And they're engaged in worship with their bodies as well. And sometimes you might see that in our church. We might reach out our hands. We might get on our knees stand up and praise God with a loud voice. And the people here, they're engaging in worship with their bodies and expressing their praise to God. What's our response to the word of God when he gives us a word, when he speaks to us? Is it one of thanksgiving and trust, where we're going to receive from him and yes, say, thank you, Lord, I receive that, I'm going to worship you? And is it one of obedience, where we will do what he's asked us to do and take our positions? He always keeps his word and promise when God says he's going to be with us. He always keeps his end of the word. Will we do our part and be obedient and trust in him as we step out? So, Jehoshaphat appoints the singers to praise ahead of the army. And you can see there, that's a reference to the psalm we opened the service with, Psalm 136:1. And that's what they're going out singing. Give thanks to the Lord, for his love endures forever. Can you imagine that? Just close your eyes for a moment and think. There's an overwhelming force. Everyone's headed for terror in town without God's help. And you're stepping out there and you're just singing, give thanks to the Lord. His love endures forever.
Hallelujah.
As we praise him, God is working. Verse 22, as they began to sing and praise, the Lord set ambushes against the men of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir who were invading Judah, and they were defeated. Our praise time at church can be a lovely time of encouragement for us, of refreshing. And how many of you know we need that, don't we? We need to call on God, and we need the strengthening of his spirit and his encouragement. But when we praise him, it's more than that. We're calling on God to intervene in breaking down strongholds, in destroying the schemes of the enemy. We sing the song, I speak the name of Jesus, don't we? And as we sing that, we often say, we're speaking it over these streets. We're calling on the name of Jesus to come in and break people free from their addictions. We're calling on God to break down strongholds. And we sing the song we sing earlier, there's a verse as well that we sang before. Stomp Satan lower, 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 lower. Stomp Satan lower. As we sing these songs in praise and thanks to our God, we're calling on his name as well. And as we do so, he's working. The Spirit of God is moving. We don't always see it. We don't always feel it. But he's doing something, church. He's been doing something. He's been at work while we've been praising him this morning. Are you encouraged by that? I know I am. So the singers go ahead in what may have felt like a scary, vulnerable position, but they're praising God with Psalm 136:1. So I want to encourage you in our battles at home. Whatever battle it is you're facing, a personal battle, or whether you're praying about a battle that our nation is in, those spiritual battles, let's praise. Let's praise his name. Let's magnify his name around the house, down the street, in public places, as a family. Sometimes when we're out and about together, we might sing a little song like Cast Your Burdens in a cafe or something together. You know, why not? Praise his name in the cafe. Yeah. Praise his name wherever you are. God's working. And in those private moments too, moments of temptation, moments of discouragement, of depression, of total despair, lift your voice to God. Yes. Call on his name. And how many of you know the Holy Spirit comes and strengthens you and does something in your life? So this is how we fight our battles, not with violence or vandalism, but with prayer, praise, and the word, the sword of the Spirit, Ephesians 6. And we call on the one who we know can save us from what may be an overwhelming force. So there's a positive outcome from their prayer and praise, and the fact that they went out in obedience and trust to what God has said. Church, will we be a people of prayer and praise who will be obedient to what God has asked us to do, who will take our positions in this spiritual fight that we're in? Persistence. It's wonderful that we see the people of Judah come together to seek help from the Lord. Maybe some of them just thought, well, there's nothing else we can do here. But Judah, the land, it looked very different in the time of Jehoshaphat's dad. Jehoshaphat was the fourth king from Solomon. And his dad, Asa, was the one who broke the chain of unfaithfulness to God in his family. And we read Solomon's son Rehoboam abandons God and his ways, 2 Chronicles 12:1, and Abijah, son of Rehoboam, continues to sin just like his father before him. He was not true-hearted to God. Now you could say that Asa, after all the corruption that had gone before him, all the corruption that surrounded, that he didn't stand a chance. Everyone around him was so taken in by the current culture and the way of doing things. And he was on his own in his desire to be faithful to God, but ultimately he chose who he was going to be, who he worshipped, and where he was going to lead the people, who he was going to point the people towards, to God. And we read about how Asa cleans house, he gets rid of the pagan altars and the sex and religion groves. And there's all these made-up gods that the people worship. So for him to actually do this, for him to clean house, would have been a massive, a colossal task. It's not something that would happen overnight. And there might have been a lot of people that were unhappy about him changing things, about him removing or destroying these made-up gods. There are some things today that may be considered normal and a part of everyone's ways that should not be a part of our ways if we want to be faithful to God. Our nation has strayed from God, but things can change when men and women of God rise up and pray and lead others to God's way. Perhaps we today, like Asa, can revive some right ways in our nation. Let's not worry about upsetting people by not going along with what they think is right, even if it feels like a lot of people. Some people might get angry with us or call us names, but we need to focus on God's way persistently. Asa goes so far as to remove his own grandma from her position and gets rid of the memorial she's made to a false goddess in 1 Kings 15:11. We must never allow ourselves to be pressured into following the crowd. You choose who you serve. You might be the only one that is faithful to following God's word. We've heard about Noah and Samuel at Shiloh. This was meant to be a place of worship where Samuel's serving, and he's the only one who's really faithful to God. So let's persist in serving God in our prayer, in our praise, and also consider the relationships in our lives, who or what we're standing with and what we're signalling we're okay with. Because Jehoshaphat, we see here how he leads the people in prayer and praise, and that's wonderful, but he makes a mistake where he allies with evil King Ahab through marriage. And Ahab throws this lovely event and charms Jehoshaphat and gets Jehoshaphat to agree that he's going to enter into a battle with evil King Ahab. And basically, Jehoshaphat gets himself into a really sticky situation. And he suddenly realizes this and he calls on God to save him. And God, in his graciousness, saves Jehoshaphat. And Jehoshaphat then makes this real effort to evangelize in the nation, and he reforms the justice system, and he does all this good, and we see how the nation changes. So God's good and a gracious God, but we need to keep making a decision that we will be consistent in serving God. We know he's gracious and he helps us get back up again when we've made a mistake. But let's, every time we get back up, make that decision that we are going to be a people of prayer and praise that want to bring his kingdom here on earth. So, in conclusion, we want to go to God for help, our first response in a crisis. There's power and prayer in our praise together. God responds. And let's be persistent in prayer, worship, and in leading ourselves and others towards God. And you know, if we do this, people, things could look very different, maybe, in our neighbourhood, in our home, in our family, in our nation, in a few years. So let's just call on him together now. Lord, we just thank you for this encouragement from your word, that you are with us, Lord, and that you do intervene for your people, and in your graciousness, Lord, save us. Lord, we say, have mercy on our nation. Father, we just pray that you would intervene, that you'd send your spirit down. Lord, that we would see revival in our nation. Lord, we pray that any time this week where we might feel a bit discouraged about what we're seeing on the news, about everything that's happening, Lord, that we might just be stirred to respond through prayer and praise and calling on your name. Help us, Lord, to trust in you, to be obedient, to take our positions in the spiritual fight that we're in and be a people who are praying to you always. Amen.
Amen.
And there will be tears.